Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is July 5th. We're back in the studio. I'm joined by Rachel.
Good morning.
Hi, Rachel.
Hello.
Do you want to give out your last name? Eventually, you'll have to, right?
My last name is Wolfson.
It's Wolfson, and it's Wolfie Comedy. You guys look for that stuff online, at least that is on Instagram, right?
It's Wolfie Comedy, Twitter, and Instagram.
Oh, okay.
Rachel Wolfson on Facebook.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about Twitter in a minute because apparently Ed Sheeran decided to leave Twitter. I don't know who he is. He's a singer, right, or something? Have you heard of Ed Sheeran?
He's a singer. I definitely have heard of him, but I can also think of a couple other people who should leave Twitter.
Right. You know? But he says that all he gets is haters and things like this. And I guess Lady Gaga supports his exit from Twitter.
Wow.
Like, I really give a shit. But it's right there, you know, so you can't ignore it. But the reason I brought it up is because I totally don't like Twitter. I don't know why. I can't connect with it. It's too impersonal to me. And I think that's why he says, you know, Instagram is a whole different animal. Because on Twitter, people will tell you shit and they don't care, right?
Yeah.
Because you're not part of like a group or something.
Well, I
like
think...
Facebook, you know the people, kind of.
I mean, I just think Twitter, it's a lot easier to hide behind tweets than it is behind like Instagram and Facebook because those are both more visual platforms.
Right, right.
And Twitter, you just hide behind hateful words. And
right.
And a fake profile picture.
Yeah, and you can reach a lot of people that way too, you know, so... Mm-hmm. I never found the fascination with Twitter. I don't know. For some people, it works great, you know, but I don't find interest in it. There's just too much bullshit on there, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably the hardest platform that I've found to connect with as well. So
Now, so your favorite is what, Instagram or Facebook?
I guess if I had to pick a favorite, because they are all, you know, evil in their own way, I would have to say Instagram.
Instagram, yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool. I prefer Facebook just because there's more communication. I mean, it's a nice mix of words and memes and text. And
it's so funny to see how far Facebook has come, because I remember when I first joined Facebook, it was in college, and you had to have a college email address.
Oh, really?
To join. Like, that was the
beginning.
That's
really early.
Yeah. And it was cool because you were on this platform with all people just your age. You didn't have to worry about posting something that your grandmother will see.
Right.
Now I'm like, oh my gosh, I better not post this. You know, my entire family is going to call me.
Wow.
But yeah, so.
Awesome. Well, a lot of things are happening. Of course, today is the day after the 4th of July.
Yep.
And I went on a trip last week. How was your 4th, by the way? Did you do anything special?
I went to the beach, spent the day at the beach, and then I caught the fireworks down there, which were really nice.
Really?
Yeah.
I know. The beach is definitely the way to go, especially when it's so hot in the valley, too, you know? Was it really nice down there?
It was
there?
Beautiful. Yeah. I got a little sunburned. I don't know if you can tell. But it was nice. I mean, also, you know, you don't even really need to leave the house because everyone just posts fireworks pictures anyway.
And you can hear them outside.
I mean,
exactly.
I mean, so.
But I don't get people that complain on Facebook about the fireworks and how they scare their dogs. I mean, are you shit me? What, like, we're going to outlaw fireworks so your dog can sleep in peace for a few hours? I don't know, you know. I love dogs, but I think dog people sometimes go too far.
I think dogs have been bothered for years, and it wasn't until Facebook came around that it gave a platform for these people.
For people to complain, right?
Exactly. Like, we're going to continue to set fireworks off, and dogs are going to continue to be annoyed. So that's just the way the world goes.
It's amazing to me how sometimes, I mean, especially on social media that amplifies everything.
Yeah.
you can see the people that are like feeling entitled, the people that always complain, the people that always think about themselves, and you know, and it amplifies it. The people don't realize.
My favorite is when people use Facebook as a diary.
Yeah, right.
Normally, you know, I would recommend to like unfriend these people, but I can't even unfriend them because then I just get wrapped up in their lives. Like I need to know,
right,
what happened.
It's like watching a TV show,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. Like, why did they break up? Like, why did their dog have to go to the hospital? You know, like, why are they having so many babies?
That's true. There are stories out there, man.
It's just too much, you know?
I know
stuff about people that after high school, I was like, I never want to see you again. And here they are. I know facts.
Right.
About them, you know?
Right. It's like, to me, I know. Also, it's like, I don't want to know this person or anything that they do, but I'm fascinated by everything they write. Maybe because I hate them so much.
Oh, man.
I mean, I don't hate anybody, really, people really irritate me.
It's like a bad car accident. You can't look away, but you know, you're just like, I shouldn't be looking.
Right, because you want to know what's going on with their lives, you know? I don't know, especially people that screw me, you know?
Damn you, Facebook.
Then I'm like, I look at them with other people, I'm saying, oh, you just wait till they screw you, too.
Oh, my God, that's the best.
Right?
It's only a matter of time.
Yeah, because you know what's in the future for them.
Because
they do it to everybody. Wow. So, Rachel has joined our show, and we welcome her to the show.
Thank you.
You definitely beat a lot of people, you know.
It was a fierce competition, I'm not going to lie. I was like, I wonder who else there is. But you talked a big game. I was very intimidated, but thank you.
No being intimidated at all. I mean, you can tell it's like a child play here. You know, all you have to do is come in, be yourself.
And also, Tori was so amazing. And, you know, we had some big shoes to fill. So I was like...
That is true. That is true. You know, she left a big mark. Mm-hmm. Tori was amazing. But I'm sure you're going to leave your legacy, too. So
Thank you. There
you go.
Yeah.
You know?
Famous last word.
So tell us a little bit about you. You're from Vegas, right?
Yes. Born and raised in the great state of Nevada. Lived in Vegas till I was 17. Went to boarding school in Utah for a year.
Yeah, what was that like?
It was interesting. It was in Provo, Utah, and I got a lot of outdoors experience.
Is that why you wanted to go?
I wouldn't necessarily say I wanted to go.
That's what I figured.
But I ended up there. And it was, and don't get it twisted, it wasn't like your typical boarding school you'd see on TV. It was more like Orange is the New Black. No, it was cool. It was a good experience. It was good for at the time. I needed the direction and the structure.
So it helped you?
It helped me. Yeah. And I still keep in contact with the people that I was there with, and my mentors, if you will, who, you know.
So now, why did your parents decide? Were you like a troublemaker or something?
It was never like drinking or drugs or anything, because I just saved that until after I left the house. it was that, no, my parents, you know, we talked a little bit about this. They were politicians out in Vegas, and I think from their careers, they were just always on edge raising two daughters in the city of sin. So I was a little bad. I did sneak out of the house a couple times, a lot of times, but I did get caught eventually, and that was probably like...
Yeah, so they sent you to boot camp for a year.
Basically.
And obviously it works, right?
It worked. it was a good experience. I don't regret it. It led me to where everything.
Yeah. So now you're still the troublemaker, but you try to spare them.
Exactly. Like, I wouldn't say a troublemaker. I'm just like a mischief magician, perhaps. Uh-huh. You know, so,
That's cool. And so you moved to L.A. when?
I moved to L.A. I have to remember the exact date.
You don't have to.
I mean, I guess I don't have to remember. Oh, gosh, how much weed have I been smoking?
I know. Well,
It was probably like 3 years ago from Florida, which is where I finished up college.
Where did you go to college there?
I went to college in Boca Raton at Lynn University.
Oh, Boca Raton. Is it nice there?
It is gorgeous. Really? If you're looking for a place to live the rest of your days on Earth, highly recommend Boca Raton. It's beautiful. Some of the best beaches in the country.
Wow.
Some of the shadiest people in the country.
Really?
Yeah. But everything comes at a price.
Yeah, right. So you finished college and then you came out here?
I finished college and I took a job in Boca. I was working. I got a degree in communications, my master's degree. And then I was working in a restaurant hostessing while I was finishing up school. And the owner of the restaurant saw that I was just good at social media, and without asking, I would go in to work every day and then check in online, like, hey, come into the restaurant, blah, blah, blah. And so he saw that I did that and I was good at it. And he asked me to come work for him in his corporate office marketing organic pizza.
Oh, wow. How cool is that? Yes. So you got a lot of good experience there.
Yes.
How long were you there for?
I was in Boca.
No, at the job. Yeah.
Oh, I was with Pizza Fusion for, even when I moved out here, he was such a big supporter of mine. And he, when I came to him and was like, hey, I really want to move to Los Angeles and pursue my dreams. And he was like, cool, well, you can still work for us while you transition out there. So I was with them for about 3 years.
Wow. Yeah. How cool is that?
So about the first year I was out here.
So you sort of discovered a direction that you're good at as far as marketing and social media.
Yeah. So,
did that actually bring in business to the restaurant when you were promoting it?
Oh, 100%. I mean, yeah, I think it did. In some way, even if it got one person or one friend in there, like just posting where it definitely did. It was pre-marketing.
So, yeah, obviously you want it to work, you know, that's the whole point of this. Social media is so important because that's where people are today, you know. They're not even on Google as much as they used to be.
Right.
You know, they just go
full businesses can just, you know, operate solely on social media alone. You don't need an office. You can have businesses through Instagram.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm so interested in social media and it's fascinating. I just don't have the time to post all the time, you know, so
everyone,
I really need to get someone.
Everyone
to,
says that.
Right?
I think social media is like anything else. You know, you get what you get, right?
Right, exactly, you know. But then people have to wonder, do I really have the time and the inclination to put into this?
Well, it is also pretty dangerous. It's a danger because they're saying they're coming out with reports and articles about how Instagram and social media is a cause of a lot of people's mental illness, or not the cause, but it exacerbates their mental illness.
That's
they probably
true,
had
right?
mental illness before, but it doesn't help. It's very
or it
triggering.
Depresses people,
right? And
right.
I think they said out of all the platforms, Instagram is the one that is
really
the worst, yeah,
because that's where people really flaunt their glitter and their fun and
I mean, it just gives
yacht
exactly,
pictures and
exactly.
shit like that, and you go, oh, my life is so boring compared to other people, but you're forgetting they're only showing the highlights
right.
of their life.
Or how many shots did it take just to get that one photo,
right.
You know what I mean? And then how many people do you see where you remember looking on social media and they seem so happy, and then you find out they broke up and they were just the most miserable couple ever.
Exactly. Yeah,
like
couples,
I've,
right?
I've been that couple.
Yeah. I mean, my God.
That's happened to me. They're like, what happened? You guys look so happy. I'm like, oh my God, you only saw Instagram.
Right. You only get a very small glimpse. You're looking through the keyhole to look at people's lives, and you can't, I mean, because everybody's trying to put their best foot forward to present themselves in the lightest. In the best light. And
I think they should make up a platform called Sadstagram, where we just post all of our most miserable moments just to even out, you know? I think it would be good for everyone.
Yeah, right? Wow. Everybody would go on that one.
I think so.
Yeah, wanting to see
the misery?
The train wrecks.
Maybe I will have to talk to some app developers.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you can't lie. Sometimes you're just kind of happy about people's misery.
Yeah, misery book.
I think it's because it's like, oh, my life is not so terrible,
right.
You know. But you have to understand, when you post only highlights, great highlights, people will probably expect you to fail at a certain point. So you better not.
I think that's
build
why they stick around, right?
High.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're not really fans. They're just haters watching. You know?
Yeah, watching for you to fail.
Yeah.
How bad is that, right?
People back in the day have no idea how good they had it before Facebook.
That's true, right?
You know?
Yeah, yeah. And before the internet even, you know? I mean, my God, the internet has made our lives so fast.
I just don't know how people did it before smart technology.
I mean, it would be like if we did a show right now and we weren't sure about something,
right,
we would look like fools. But now I look it up on Google immediately.
Exactly.
You know, so it does change your life, you know. If you noticed, I think we've become smarter. Our kids are definitely smarter because they have access to all this information.
I think so. I think smarter, but also at the same time, we've become dumber because it's made us lazy.
Right.
You know what I mean? So knowing that we can have access to this instant information, it's like, oh, well, we can look it up later. And then, you know, who remembers about that? Whereas back in the day, like you said, when you had to find out something, you had to, you know, you went to the library and looked up the encyclopedia.
Right, but would you go? I don't know.
You know?
It's easier to ask
Like, how
Siri,
did you find anything out? What happened?
Wow. So you came out here and you decided to follow what, comedy?
I fell into comedy. Well, I came out here. I was still working in the hospitality industry doing marketing for my old boss. I knew I wanted to be in entertainment. I had done improv as a child. I've always been interested in improv, acting, and comedy. And I fell into comedy about 2 years ago because I started working for a entertainment agency that was the biggest comedy purchaser in the United States. They're the company that owns all the improvs across the country.
Really?
Yeah. So I took a job doing marketing and social media. And so I was doing social media for all of the clubs across the country.
So that's good. Cool. You got your foot in the door, sort of.
Yeah.
Wow. Through the
and
back
then,
door.
So I was watching comedy for about a year, you know, promoting comedians. And then I had my friend, my sorority sister, Sam, who had been doing comedy, stand-up comedy for about 3 years. And I had reached out to her over the years and I was like, I really want to get into this, but it's just timing never happened. And then before I turned 30, I was like, if I don't jump in front of the mic now, I'm never going to do it. And I'm always going to be like, why didn't I do that?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So has it always been something you wanted to do?
Deep down, you know, it's funny. As a kid, I would come home and my parents would come home from their day and we would just be in the kitchen. I remember I would just be like on one doing like a bit, you know, just like talking about my day or just ranting or whatever. And I would make my parents laugh, or my mom specifically. And I remember her saying in the kitchen, like, I remember the exact moment where she's like, you should do stand up. But I was so young, you know, like, what does that even mean? Right.
Right.
And I think, I think that it was always going to find me.
Yeah.
I think it was meant to find me.
Wow,
that,
very cool. Good. And so you are funny. Have you always felt you were funny?
Yeah, I always knew I can make people laugh. I never was shy about standing up in class and being the first to present my presentations or whatnot. And I always made people laugh, and I was always very aware of that. So I knew that I enjoyed doing that, but I didn't know, like, how could I do this, you
right.
know, on the regular?
Yeah.
Right.
So did you, I mean, did you need any special training? Did you go to like learn a little bit?
I did. I was always comfortable in front of the stage. I've always been a decent writer. I was always told I was good. I was a good writer in college, and I've been very, you know, I truthfully I have a learning difference. I have ADHD, and so I had a hard time growing up with the traditional school system. I knew I was very smart, but I didn't learn the same way that people learned. I was a visual learner. I couldn't just read something and then just like interpret it. So I
made things a lot more difficult for you.
It did. So I truthfully didn't learn how to write until I got to college. I didn't know how to write a paper, which in high school by your senior year you should know how to write, you know?
Right.
So because I kind of came into my own and really developed those writing skills, it helped me. With that helped me. And then like I was saying before, my friend Sam, she took a class with Lisa Sunstedt, who does Pretty Funny Women, which Tori also, I think, took her class or did something with
her. It was like probably all the comedians that night, all the females probably had gone to her class.
Well, I will say, yeah, they've all either taken her class or done a private session with her. And for me, like anything else, I'm like, okay, you know, when you want to get into something, the best thing to do is to find a mentor.
Right.
Or someone who's good at it or who's done it or whatnot. Or, I mean, there are a lot of comedians who just like put themselves out there, have no, you know, have no formal training or whatever, and just start going to open mics and they figure it out as they go. For me, I was just like, this is such a intimidating world.
Yeah.
And I kind of wanted like a safe place where I can just like comfortably start, you know, my career, whatnot. And that's what Lisa provides.
Yeah. Yeah. Women. Well, that's awesome because she's pretty funny. I mean, she's done it for a while.
Oh,
right?
Man. She's any big female comedian you could probably think of. She's worked with, she used to write for Chelsea Lately. And she would throw shows at the Improv with like Chelsea Lately, Whitney Cummings. I mean, any big comedian that you could think of, she, you know, she's worked with.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's very cool. So, I mean, so you learn from the best pretty much. Yeah. Now, when the stuff that you learn and stuff, I mean, do you like pay attention to, do you think about the mechanics of comedy when you perform?
I do think about the mechanics. There's so many different styles of writing and different types of jokes. And I think instead of trying to write jokes for style, I think it's more important to kind of like develop your own voice and the jokes will come.
Right.
Because people always ask me, they're like, what kind of comedian are you? And there's like comedians who are storytellers, and then it doesn't, you know, the punchline doesn't come till the very end, and there's like sprinklings of punchlines throughout. And I'm more of like traditional setup punchline.
Right.
But I do have a lot of stories, and I'm trying to, you know, I'm like, how do I say these stories without incriminating people?
Yeah.
But yeah, so
it is comedy. You can say anything you want. Who cares, right?
Right. Yeah. But I think it's important. I write my own jokes, but I think it's also important to have like a support system or some mentors in the field, because I mean that's what's going to make you successful.
Yeah, yeah.
Being around people who are smarter than you and what you want to do.
That's so, yeah. Cool. And we also discovered we have much in common as far as cannabis and marijuana use.
We do.
And we are big fans. So we can talk a little bit about that. I wanted to tell you, I went to Lake Tahoe last week.
Mm.
And Lake Tahoe is very interesting because the state line goes like through the lake. So between California and Nevada. So you go into a casino, and once you step out of the casino, you're in California.
Right.
So... You know, you cross the street, you're in Nevada, you can go gambling.
Amazing.
So I have a California recommendation, so I went to the California side. On the Nevada side, there was really nothing. There was only one dispensary, storefront dispensary there on the California side, and I decided to go. So the first thing I realized is they're not as strict as they're here. They're not as paranoid as they're here. I mean, here you go into a dispensary, you got security guards and, you know, a million doors to go through and verification and all this shit. There, I go in there like, so they give me a tour,
yeah,
quote unquote. And they have a room where they're like, look, you can just hang out here and smoke. I'm like,
right.
Wow. That's like the way it used to be like a few years ago when they started the dispensaries here. Everybody would do it. Yeah, they have a lounge. I'm like, that's awesome. You know, so I was sitting there smoking a joint and I'm like laughing that I was worried I wouldn't find any when I got there, you know, because you don't want to bring any on a plane, which incidentally.
You did?
I arrived there. I put my jacket on in the evening. It was cold, and I realized I have a joint in the pocket.
Oh, no, you trapped.
My God.
Well,
and
I
they didn't even see it.
An ex-boyfriend whose name I will not mention, we went to another country whose name I will not mention.
Oh, no.
And we get there, and he looks into his wallet and finds a smashed-up joint. And I'm like, wow. Like,
wow.
It went through customs in several different countries. You know what I mean?
I know. So can you imagine?
I would never recommend traveling with it.
No, don't. Not even within the state.
No. But it's funny because while you were there, I'm really excited that Nevada just passed legalization. So it's recreational marijuana
use, right?
Yeah.
Wow. So and that happened July 1st, right?
July 1st. Yep.
Did you go to Nevada to rejoice?
I have not been home yet. But I will. I'm going to go out there soon. But I'm really excited for them. And I heard that they like had to turn people away. I mean, it was so busy. And so I mean, that's really good out there.
Wow. So hold on just a second. We have I'm getting an emergency here and text here. So let me just text real quick. Hang on just a second. And
My mom is definitely listening.
Yeah, but she's not able to hear us right now. Okay, we're only being recorded right now. It's not live because the internet's down.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. So that sucks. People are probably wondering, why can't we hear anything on the friggin' website? So I hope the internet comes back. I don't know. It looks terrible, but my engineer is taking care of it, and we're not going to disrupt the show. But, you know, that's the thing about internet radio. We have so many moving parts here. There's so many variables, technical stuff, that anything can go wrong. You know, any one thing can go wrong. And, you know, so you never know where it's going to hit you and shit, you know?
My mom says it's working.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Thanks, Mom.
Or maybe she's hearing what played before. Maybe. It might be going to this.
She said it's working. All right. Thanks, Jackie.
Yeah, I don't know how it is. Oh, I think it's back now. Okay.
And we're back.
We're back. All right. Cool. So let's get back to what we were talking about. So
my mom says hi, by the way.
Hi, Mom. Well, I'm hoping that she'll call in sometimes, you know, while you're here.
I'm sure she would love to.
You're going to be here for a long time. And,
yeah.
And, it's funny because one of my past co-hosts a few years ago, her dad would listen and he would call every day.
Oh, my God. That's so cute. I love that.
I know. So you, like, became part of the show. But at any rate, so you love... marijuana and what it does for you. You said you have ADHD. Does it help you with that?
I have ADHD and anxiety. I mean, every day it's something different, right? You know? But I've struggled with anxiety and ADHD and depression my entire life. Mm. And I did the pharmaceutical route growing up. My mom was very supportive of my mental health journey, if you will. Yeah. And by the time I got to college, I just, you know, there's something that just didn't feel right with me about taking, you know, anti-anxiety, you know, pharmaceuticals. And to anyone who ever asked me advice or anything, I say, find what works for you. You know, I would never say come off your medication just because I did.
Right.
But for me, it wasn't, you know, for ADHD, all that medicine just like was not helping me.
Right.
So I found cannabis, and that's what I've been used to. That's what I've been using.
Right. And people don't understand. This is self-medication where you discover spontaneously what works for you,
right.
You know? And people don't understand that. I've battled bipolar disorder since my 30s, and it took me about 15 years to find the right cocktail of medication.
Right.
Most of the time I was not smoking either.
Yeah.
So I was just a fucking miserable fuck. That's what I was.
Yeah.
And I made everybody miserable around me. But I tried all medication all the time. Nothing worked.
Same.
Eventually I found something 12, 15 years after I've been battling this. And I know what you mean. You know, it's like you fall back on that because at least it quiets you down a little bit.
It makes
you focused, makes you relaxed, mm-hmm. makes you not care about shit that you shouldn't care about.
I think for me, it's because of my anxiety, like I'll get into my own head and it'll be like I'm on a treadmill in my own mind, just like, you know, thoughts coming through. And I'm just like, you know, everything's coming at me at once. I don't know if the treadmill analogy is a proper I don't know. Like you're in traffic. Cars are driving by. Each thought is a car. So for me, the cannabis, like you said, it just kind of helps me like slow it down a little bit.
Right.
Truthfully, this morning I was telling you, I have this tincture of CBD oil that CBD is the component of the plant that is non-psychoactive. So a lot of people are using it to treat like everything from anxiety to cancer to seizures.
Right.
And the thing that the reason why people like it is because it doesn't get you high necessarily.
Right. And many people don't want
to. It's just purely the medicinal part of the plant. Right. So, yeah.
Which is even better than most medication give you side effects anyway.
Right.
It makes you drowsy and
there's
shit,
no
you know?
Side effects.
Right, mm-hmm. right. And that's why I think finally... And, you know, the amazing thing is we're able to talk about it
right.
now, even publicly, you know?
Yeah.
And for many years, it was like I was in the closet.
Right.
Same. I mean, shit, you know? I mean, I've been smoking since I was 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I came from Israel at 16 with a lot of strong anti-drug education.
Right.
So when I came here and I first smelled it in a party, I'm like, what's that, you know? And, you know, for us, it was even, they would talk about hash all the time. It wasn't really marijuana. I never even heard of the name. So when I came here and people said, yeah, that's marijuana and stuff, I'm like, wow, you know, really unique smell to it, very strong, sweet smell. And then I said, you know what? I'm resisting this. And I think for 2 years I resisted smoking marijuana, even though everybody around me was. That was in the 70s, 1976. In fact, exactly 41 years ago is when I came here on July 5th. So I discovered it. I found that I liked it.
Right.
And but in the beginning, you were really, you could really get high. I mean, even though the weed was shit, but when you just start smoking, man, you get high.
I mean,
and then you always chase that first high, right?
Well, I mean, yes and no. yes and no, for sure. I mean, it's people ask me, like, how often do you smoke? And I'm like, every day. You know, I'm a consumer.
Yeah, like
I'm
all an everyday the time,
consumer.
Right,
yeah,
right.
In some form or another. And for me, it's not about necessarily getting that high. It's kind of finding the right high and the right amount, right?
Right.
I mean, there's a time and a place. Like at bedtime, I want to be so zonked out of my mind I can just sleep and, like, you know, not even think about it. But yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely a time and a place. And there's so many different types. I mean, there, for whatever ails you, you know, that's how I say to treat it is go, you know, like if people are like, what do I use? And I'm like, go to a dispensary and just explain to them medically, like, what are you looking for? Are you looking for better sleep? Are you looking, you know, for something to help you focus or calm down or whatever it is, and approach it that way.
Right.
Yeah.
But do you think they really know? I mean, you know, we go in there and we pick our medicine based on the way it smells and looks, you know?
Well, I think it's just based off, like, these strains, a lot of them, and cannabis has been around for years. I mean, since the beginning of time, basically, right? So, I mean, regardless of the government doing science behind it or not, people know that when you smoke indica, you're going to feel more relaxed. It's going to be more of a body high. And if you, you know, versus when you smoke sativa, it's going to be more of a mind, you know, like, so I think people, based off that, their own kind of research, are able to tell you, like, these strains will do this versus these strains, you know, they just know.
Right. So, they should know those things. Exactly. But except for someone like me who's been smoking for so many years, it makes no difference.
Right.
I mean,
some people are
like,
it always makes me tired. And I'm like, well, you know, some people, it just doesn't, it's not their thing. Their body, their genetic, you know, body makeup doesn't, even though everyone has an endocannabinoid system, like our body is made up of, has its own system, which is why weed works so well with, you know, us.
Yeah, exactly. It connects to our chemistry in our brain. But so, yeah, you know, and then you go and you buy. But I realize that to me, sativa, hybrid, indica makes no difference.
Right.
To me, it's like it feels the same.
Right.
Because I don't really, and when you think about it, Rachel, I mean, at this point, when we smoke so much, we're not really smoking in the way that you would when you go to a party or something, looking to get wasted.
Right.
You just want to be in a good mood. You want to be relaxed. You want to be focused.
Right.
You know, it allows me to really be patient with things. In traffic, I don't have to be rushed and, you know.
It's like no worries, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I'll get there when I get there, you know. And with a lot of things, you know, I mean, if something hurts you in your body, you're like, it's in the back of your mind. You're not really that aware of it. So things like that, you know. And look, I tried to quit before, but it doesn't work, you know. I just need it too much. So what I found is the medication that I take makes me more mellow, let's say, and less on the edge. But still, I need the pot to really make me feel like, you know,
normal.
Yeah, and I call it pot because that's how I grew up. I mean, I had it was pot. Funny. Before I came to America, I was, you know, in my early teens. My dad would travel a lot, so he brought me back a jean jacket, a Levi jacket.
Yeah,
71 maybe or something. I felt like, wow, you know, this is the hottest thing from America. And he brought a few patches that you sew on the jacket, you know. So one of them said legalize pot, and I didn't understand the word legalize or pot at that point. I just wore it.
Did you know?
No. Nobody knew, you know? And then I came here and people pointed it out. You know,
do you still have this jacket?
No, I don't think so. I was very young.
That's a good vintage vibe.
Right? I might have a picture of it. I don't know. But it's funny, you know, because you don't know what you get into, you know. He just got it. I'm sure he didn't know what it meant. I didn't know what it meant. He just probably took a handful from the store and brought them.
Like, this is
know?
A nice jacket.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Legalized pie. I love, you know, household items, you know. I don't know. Like, my son will love this.
Right. And, you know, even if I understood the word pot, I probably would have thought a pot that you cook in. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, why would you legalize that?
Yeah.
You know, because it was slang, you
exactly.
know.
Exactly.
So that's funny, man. So, yeah, and in Nevada, I mean, I'm totally blown away by the fact that it happened in Nevada so soon because, again, in the 70s when I was in Las Vegas living there and I would smoke weed, people would say, beware of even leaving a seed in your car
right.
because you'll go to jail for that.
Illegal.
And
yeah.
I always had that fear, mm-hmm. that anxiety about weed and about cops and shit like that, you know.
I mean, I have anxiety. I'm like, should we be allowing people to do Vegas stoned and
right.
drunk? I mean,
right.
that's just so much crossfading going on. Like, I'm like, you know, stoned bingo sounds amazing,
right.
right? And like, I mean, Vegas was made for stoners. Let's
right.
be real. Like,
that's
let's
true.
let's just be honest. There's so many great buffets. I was just thinking of all the buffet workers, like the night after, like once the clock hit midnight, I'm like, man, the buffets are going to be so overworked.
I know you know? Get hungry and shit. Yeah, that's true. And munchies.
But it's going to be, I mean, but I think it'll be interesting as time goes on to see how the tourism and the economy changes for Vegas, because they're calling it like the West Amsterdam.
Right,
which,
exactly.
You know, I mean, it is the city of sin. You got to just legalize it all.
And
you know?
Amsterdam is Europe's city of sin.
Right.
So there you go. And Amsterdam was always my favorite place, mainly because I could smoke there too.
Right.
And then you go and there's so much to do and see.
Yeah.
But you're high.
Yeah.
It feels a lot nicer.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Exactly.
But I remember one time I went into the wax museum and I was really high and I freaked out, you know, because people were like, I mean, most of it was wax figures, but sometimes you'd have people jumping out at
right.
you and I would freak out. I'm like, what the fuck, you know? And so you got to be careful when you do those things.
I'm just looking forward to like hearing about all the people like passed out, like you just fell asleep at the slot machines, just like
right.
with their arm on the, you know, because
I know.
They just.
I just hope people that can't handle themselves on weed don't drive, you know.
Right.
I mean, it can be just as deadly as drinking or
yeah.
being sleepy, you know.
Right. I mean, treat it the same way. Don't get behind the wheel after you smoke seven
exactly,
joints.
Exactly, you know, and know how
martinis.
Much you can handle,
right.
you know.
Exactly.
I mean, I can take an edible and drive, but that's me, you know. I mean,
right.
I've got high tolerance.
Exactly.
But
literally.
Literally. So, yeah, so be careful with that. And there's just so many stories to tell about weed and stuff. I'm just happy we don't have to go to our dealers anymore in the back alleys to pick up some weed and stuff, because that's the way it was.
It's just much safer, I think. And there's, yeah. I mean, there's just, it's all about safe access, right? Because having to go through a dealer, I mean, there's always that, it's illegal, there's always that risk, you know. You never know, like I remember.
But you didn't have a choice before,
right?
The dispensaries.
I mean, exactly. Like having getting access to your medicine, like when I lived in Florida, which is another very, I mean, it just became a medical state. But when I lived there, like just like how it was before, even the smallest amount, you could get a felony.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, there's always that risk. You don't know what type of medicine that you're getting, and you know, it's just not the safest way to
No, it's not. And especially if it's illegal and you're trying to, you know, they charge you an arm and a leg. They give you less than what they're supposed
right.
to give you. You don't have a scale. You don't measure
anything.
Well,
also, too, you know, the quality. Exactly. Like, there's just so much that you don't know that happens to the plant.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I got to tell you, though, I mean, the worst part for me was having to chase the fucking guy every time, you know? Because they'd be like, okay, well, what time can I meet you? Well,
he'll give you a window.
Right.
Like a four-hour window. Like, my guy used to give me, a window of time, and then he just would never show up. And I'm like, I sat here for 4 hours. I could have been living my day.
Right. You see?
I'm so mad. But you have no control. It's all, you know?
Yeah. No, it was a power struggle there where they had all the power on you, and that's what sucked about it.
Yeah,
you know, I really didn't like that. So anyway, we have someone calling, but I don't know I don't know who's calling, but there's a name to it. Why would they be calling here? I don't know. But at any rate,
do we answer?
No, we're not going to answer because I don't know why they're calling, but I don't know who it is. But if it was anybody that's not connected with the station, there wouldn't be a name on it.
Ah, okay, I see.
So I'm trying to think maybe it's your mom, but no, I don't think so.
Is it a 702 number?
Well, there's no number. It's just a name. And I'm not going to ask your name, so we don't... don't divulge that. But at any rate, if you're calling, we're going to answer this later, folks, because...
she said it's not her.
Yeah.
A mysterious
Yeah,
caller.
No. Personally, I'm not a fan of big calls. It's funny. So she's communicating with you in real time.
Yes. Well, my mom, I called her this morning. I was like, Mom, it's, you know, I'm going to be working with Sam. It's my first official day on the radio. Cause she was in radio.
Oh.
She started in radio before she became a lawyer, before she went on to be a judge. Yeah.
So it's in the genes now, huh? Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yep. Awesome. Maybe she'll give you some pointers.
Yeah.
But I think you do it just fine.
Thank you, Sam. I'm definitely going to get some feedback.
Yeah. So, I mean, a couple of things we don't want to ignore is the missile test launch by North Korea. Did you hear about this?
Yes.
They're saying this is a new kind of missile. That's scary as hell,
awesome.
Man.
Just what we need.
Yeah, you know, that's just what we need. And an ICBM, which is intercontinental ballistic missile, and that means it can reach here.
Oh,
it's
a
two-stage one. So imagine it probably has long range, you know. Be afraid, folks. Let's be really, really afraid.
I mean, I feel like there's better ways to be spending our time. It's just like, you know, guys, when they're trying to show off like how manly they are, they buy expensive cars or talk about their private parts. I mean,
right.
It's just Kim Jong-un, you know, flexing his, you know, it's just he's making up for, I think that he's overcompensating, right?
Well, of course, but does it really matter? I mean, if he ends up dropping the fucking bomb on us, we're in deep shit. And, you know, the thing is that, you know what, should we take this call? I mean, she doesn't stop calling. I'm wondering if she's calling for a wrong show, but let's humor her. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello. Who's speaking? Who am I speaking to?
You asking me? Who are you speaking to? You're calling me. Who is this?
This is, I was looking for the 3 keys to outside the DJ.
For the what?
I was looking for the DDJ Foundation with Taj Terrell TJ.
Oh, okay. I'll tell you what's going on. You called way too early for the show. I know what show you're calling for. You have to call in later, okay? Check out.
Okay.
It's going to be at 1 o'clock Pacific time. That's the Jackson show.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yes.
All right. You see, that's why I didn't answer. I know. Because calls always distract me.
Yeah, but you know what? You helped her. You answered. You know how many times, like, I call a place or whatever, and they'll just put you on hold. They don't care.
Right.
That was very nice of you, Sam.
Well, I don't know. You know, I mean... No, I mean, but you don't interrupt the show for this. But there was a name connected to it, so she probably called into the show before.
We won't
see. Yeah, it doesn't matter. But that's the thing, you know. I mean, when people call, it only displays a number, not a name. But if there's a name attached to it, it means that we set it up here.
Okay,
so
see.
There you
I
go.
See.
But back to North Korea, this guy, even though he's probably got a small penis and overcompensating for it.
I didn't say it, Kim Jong-un. Yeah. Sam said that.
But he's overcompensating, and that's what happens, you know. But they're saying it's a what they call a KN-17 liquid fueled missile, which is very scary.
Liquid fuel?
Wow.
Sounds like a makeup.
I know, whatever the fuck it is, man, it
like
looks scary as hell.
Tinted moisturizer.
So, and I remember back in the 80s, and we had this fear from the Russians, and You know, I mean, they did all these, well, 70s and 80s, you know, the Cold War and everything, you know, they had all these agreements, START, and, you know, to try and limit the use of it. And then you get someone like a rogue country like this.
Right.
And they're totally unpredictable. You don't know what the hell's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, like even Iran, for example, they have the bombs and they're threatening and stuff, but you know they're going to think twice about doing this because they know they're going to be destroyed. The same with North Korea. They can throw a missile, but they're done.
Right.
You know, so it's mutual destruction. That's what it is.
I know. Like, why would you want to do that? You're going to kill, you're going to hurt yourself.
So maybe they're not going to do it. It's just like, you know, trying to scare you and posturing and shit.
I think
like
they
that.
Should just like change the codes without Kim Jong-un. You know what I mean? Just like, change him on him,
right?
And every president, just like some person who's responsible, just like change the codes, you know?
Yeah. Who exactly is going to do that? I don't know.
I don't know.
You take the chance?
I mean, if I mean, if I got hired to do that, you know, that for a small price, I would.
Yeah,
if I
no,
had to.
And besides, it's all involved. I mean, it's all hacking. You don't even have to be there, you know.
Yeah,
it's all like
just to be safe, I start when people ask me what my like background is, because I get a lot of like, "What are you?" I now just tell them that I'm Russian, which you know is generations back true,
right?
But I just feel like it makes me sound more intimidating,
okay?
And you know,
menacing,
yeah, maybe safe,
maybe, more menacing.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know exactly.
Wow, that's funny. So you have some lineage from Russia, would you say?
Yeah, Eastern European.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Very cool. So we established you're Jewish too, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so somehow we've managed to have two Jewish co-hosts in a row, which is actually pretty cool. I mean, our tribe is big in
LA.
We have
to keep
people
it kosher,
have to understand.
You know? I feel like
I know it's smoke kosher OG.
Exactly.
Yeah,
we have a Jew kosher crew here.
Yeah,
Jew
exactly.
Crew. Yeah, I mean, the community here is great. I spent a lot of time with the Jewish community here growing up because I went to summer camp in Malibu at Camp JCA Shalom.
Oh, yeah, that's a cool camp,
yep.
Huh?
And I went there for years, and then I went back and became a counselor.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How fun is that? You sure know how to have fun.
Yes.
Do you travel? Do you like to travel?
I love to travel when I can.
When you can,
yeah.
Right? I know sometimes it's always no money or no time, you know?
Yeah.
I know. That's the way it always is. So I decided instead of taking big vacations, I'll just take mini ones.
Right.
3 days here, 3 days there. You're good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always find it interesting when people go to like Europe for the weekend. I'm like, doesn't it take a weekend to get there?
Right.
I'm like, how wealthy are you? Like, what do you
buy?
Do you fly faster jets? I don't know.
But
I'm
sometimes
going to
they
Europe
have
for the weekend. I'm like, that's not real.
I know. So so North Korea, let's
what
be
else
careful
is going on in the world?
And then the last thing I wanted to bring up is that Tesla is finally delivering the first Model 3 cars this month.
Oh, wow.
Have you heard of this one? Now, this is going to be a car for the masses. $35,000.
Oh.
Now, that's not the $100,000
right
you have to pay or more for the current cars, for the Model S and for the Model X.
I just feel like I wouldn't be like responsible enough to be a Tesla owner because like I can't even keep the battery charged in my phone.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like the last thing I need is to be stranded somewhere in like East LA.
I know,
because
right?
My phone and my car battery just died.
Right.
You know?
But if you're like that, you could run out of gas too, right? So
oh,
I mean, if you're
true
responsible, always get refueled. You can do that with that as well. The interesting thing is that they really only have a range of about 300 miles or something, I think. At least the older Teslas or the previous ones, let's say. But so, yeah, I mean,
do these
you
ones
can't
have
drive very far.
Do these ones have computers in their cars too?
I'm sure they do. Yeah, I'm sure they got just about everything, you know. They're saying that within a matter of days, more than 300,000 customers put down a $1,000 deposit to reserve their place in line. You're not going to get the car before the end of 2018, though. So
so I guess they'll be taking Ubers until then.
Yeah. Anyone putting down an order would then, you have to wait till. So that's the kind of demand they have.
Wow.
You know, and they managed to figure out the electric car by great design, you know, sporty looking cars.
Well, did you, I think I saw this morning, Volvo is also taking, they're going to start doing electric, they're not going to be making
gas cars anymore
or something. Yeah.
I saw the headline and I wasn't sure what it said, but yeah. Volvo gas Smart. Only cars are history.
Yep.
Wow.
Pretty yeah. interesting.
I know. Very interesting, you know. So you can bet now with this car, there's going to be a lot of electric cars out there. And what people don't realize who don't live in L.A., that we have so many Teslas here, more than Toyotas. I mean, every other car is a freaking Tesla.
It's either
Tesla
a Tesla
here.
Or a Prius.
Yeah, you know, so people have so much money in this town. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Probably mostly from the entertainment industry, mm-hmm. but a lot is going on here, you know. So a lot of money, we don't get to get much of it here on this show. But we're trying.
But we're
we
having
continue
fun,
to try.
You know?
Exactly. Well, Rachel, thank you so much for joining me.
Always.
On the first date. It was amazing.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Everybody stay cool out there. It's been very hot out here. Mm-hmm. How's it in Hollywood? Is it as bad too?
It's brutal.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay. And you guys don't have air conditionings there, right?
I mean, I definitely have.
You do yeah. have one. Okay. Yeah. So it's the older buildings that don't.
It's, yeah. Mine wasn't working, but they got it fixed.
Yeah.
So.
Same with mine. Mm-hmm. 10 days I had to wait. Mm-hmm. Fuckers. All right. Anyway, thank you all for joining us and we'll see you tomorrow.
Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.